But so I've got a word I want to bring to you. I call it the Kevlar of God. You know, there's not a lot of application. If we said put on a breastplate, put on a shield, not too many people walking around today. You know, I was inside of, I was getting a fish taco over at Rubio's this week. And as I was in there, oh, that sea lime bass, baby, awesome. Oh, man, you haven't tried it, try it. And as I was in there, I saw two gentlemen, and they were strapped with Kevlar vests. And I was looking at them, and I just thought, my goodness, you know, they got to wear those vests everywhere they go. And, of course, they're police officers, okay? They're law enforcement. There wasn't just people walking around strapped with vests, which is legal anyway, so some states it's not. But that's a whole other issue. But these guys were they had their Kevlar on, and I was just thinking about it as I thought, these guys are here for our protection, and yet they're wearing protection. And every day before they go out in the field, they're putting on protection because they don't know what bullets are going to fly their way. And so I was sitting there, and as I was just meditating on the word, because I was preparing my sermon to bring this to you today, and as I watched them get their lunch, they walked over, and then I just felt like God said, just go buy a couple gift cards. So I bought a couple gift cards when I got my tacos, and I went over to them, and I just said, thank you, gentlemen, and I gave them each a gift card and said, lunch is on me next time. I just want to say thank you for your service. I understand public service, and you don't get enough appreciation, but I appreciate what you do. And they just said, thank you. You know, and I walked out. It was that simple, but I was acknowledging and recognizing something, and those things can't be that comfortable to be strapped with Kevlar vests all day long. And the fact that they need them is a whole nother topic. But we need spiritually to have the Kevlar of God. And they, just as they go out every day, it's normal practice to put on their Kevlar vests under their police uniforms and the exterior uniforms. Just as it's important to them, it's important to us that we put on our spiritual Kevlar. That the fiery darts of the devil will come at us all day long. And if we're not prepared, they penetrate. And have you ever been there where suddenly you realize you have a dart in you? And all of a sudden you realize there was a little missing piece in the armor where it talks about your faith, and we'll get into that, that our faith, that the shield of faith that extinguishes the fiery darts. But sometimes we feel like they got in. They got to it. Somebody's cruel comment to you, or somebody messed with your children. How's that one, Kelly? Somebody messed with your kids. It's like, that'll get through. You know what I mean? You start thinking ungodly thoughts. You're like, Nate, cool down, cool down. You know, because daddies don't like people messing with their kids, and mommies don't like people messing with their kids. Are you here? The devil knows how to get at you. He knows your weaknesses, and he knows how to get into you. But God's prepared that you will not be, and that his fiery darts will get extinguished, that you'll be protected. And so God has the protection of God waiting for us. But let me tell you this. If those gentlemen got in some gunfire and they forgot to wear their vests, whose issue would it be? If their department issued them Kevlar vests and they forgot to put them on, whose issue would it be? If they refused to wear what they were told to wear and they didn't wear it, whose issue? Who's dealing? Who's? Are you with me? So if God never issued us any Kevlar from God, then I could say we get to complain to God. I can't believe I got this. But if God's provided for it and said put it on daily and we don't put it on, whose responsibility? Are you here? We have a responsibility spiritually. So I want to talk about the Kevlar of God today. It's out of Ephesians 6. 10 through 14, it says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. Isn't that beautiful? I want to be strong in the Lord, in the power of his might, not mine. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, against rulers of this darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand. Stand, therefore, having girded your waist with truth. And last week, I talked about the belt of truth. If you didn't come, you didn't have access, go on online and listen to that. Get the podcast. Subscribe to the podcast. Excellent message. If you don't get that one on the belt of truth, you can forget all the other messages on the armor of God. And if you don't have access to that, then get the CD. We'll give it to you. And it says, therefore, take up the whole armor of God. You may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand. Stand, therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness. I want to talk about that breastplate today. I want to talk about the breastplate of righteousness. And so, if you can see, I have somewhat of a breastplate on, and the breastplate was worn in battle. The Romans wore a breastplate. It actually was greater than this one as far as length. It went all the way from his neck to his knees. So the breastplate went all the way down to here. It covered his entire vitals. if you want to put it that way. It covered their vital organs so that they would not be vulnerable to an attack in battle. And so God wants to cover your vulnerability. Can we start with an amen right there? You're allowed to say amen here. Look at the person next to you and say, you can say it again. You can even say it twice. You can say it, you know, just as much as you want. You're good. I mean, if you're just agreeing, people say, oh, I'm not in a holy roller church. It's like, what do you want to be in an unholy? Never mind. Just moving right along. We just amen and just saying, I agree. That's all that is. Sorry if it's against your culture in heaven. It's in the culture of heaven, and that's what we're trying to embrace is a culture from heaven. Someday you'll be where amen is normal, and it's a normal practice. Illustration of Roman soldier. And then, as I just shared with you, if we do a modern-day illustration, I would say to take the bulletproof vest or a riot shield, even maybe, of those that were, if you see today on the news, they have riot shields that go all the way down and all the way up. And those shields are protecting them. But in today, you can see, and you know, how many know there's so many, what do you call those, reality shows on television? And I can't remember the name of the guy. He's kind of weaselly looking, but am I allowed to say that? But it's on Moonshiners. Who's that Moonshiner guy? There's a real Weasley guy that they used to have about a year ago. And anyway, there's a television show and they show these Moonshiners and they kind of glorify this one Moonshiner and he's showing his moonshining kids. These guys moonshining out in the backwoods, hiding their stuff and moonshining. And, you know, and truthfully, a true story is that law enforcement came down on some moonshiners in Kentucky. And, not Kentucky, but in Kentucky. And in Kentucky, and the officer was struck by 18 bullets, but escaped unharmed because all 18 bullets were placed right in midsection. I'm glad he was aiming for center body mass and good shooting on the moonshiners, I guess, because he's saved by his vest. He basically picked up 18 shots, and you get a little broken ribs, you'll get some damage behind those if it's a high caliber, but you know, his vest saved him. Basically, he took 18 shots, would have killed him, and he was saved because he had his vest on. Are you with me? Devil's a little more sneaky and more tactful than some hillbilly moonshiners. And we need our godly Kevlar, and we need it daily. And we need our vitals protected. And the important thing to remember, I guess, is that God's provided for our protection. I want to ask you, Daniel was in a lion's den. Did God provide for his protection? The ones who don't know, the answer is yes. There's no trick. Yes. How about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? They got thrown in the fire. Did God provide for their protection against the flames of fire? Yes, I would give a big yes to that one. See, Adam and Eve tossed something in the garden. They had a protection of God. Some believe they were clothed with the Shekinah glory of God. I just want to see that red box when I get to heaven and be like, God, I want to see your Shekinah glory before we were in a state where sin entered, because I believe that Shekinah glory is what's going to be on us when we get fully redeemed. If you want to know what it's going to look like in the future, look at like what it looked like when he first at original creation compared to where we're going in the future. I believe the Shekinah glory will clothe us. I believe we'll be covered. I believe when we go in and out of heaven that the glory of God that we get a taste of, that we get a little piece of, that we get to walk into, that we come in under worship is going to be around us and surrounding us and actually energizing us. Why is there no need for the sun, the moon, and the stars? Because the glory of God and Jesus will be there. And I just believe we're going to get something that clothes us. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were safe in the fire of the earthly fire of the furnace. Adam and Eve, I believe they just tossed it. And when they tossed it through sin in the garden, Jesus in the garden, he interceded before his Father, and he interceded, and he went to the cross for us, and he gained back what Adam and Eve threw away. One person agrees. Amen. Come on, let's amen together. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Whatever doesn't work your culture, let me rock everyone's culture. Because really seriously, we need to realize Jesus gained something back. And then he said, you get to put it on every day. But the devil always tells you, Tile, man, you're going to walk around vulnerable today. You better watch your back today. You better look out today. I'm coming after you. I'm coming after you financially. I'm coming after you relationally. I'm going to come after you this way. I'm coming after you. The devil's a liar. From the pit of hell, he'll throw lies at you and tell you you have no armor. Tell you you're vulnerable. Tell you you better watch your back today. And it's like, today it's like, Jesus got my back today. We put our armor on. We need to, and we don't walk any way in arrogance, pride, cavalier, this cocky. You know, I used to think just because I'm from Oceanside, we had something. There's no city. There's no labels. There's no throwing signs and signals. It's a holy from God. We walk by faith. And our shield comes on because of our relationship and who we're in relationship with. And that faith is what we walk in that. And that, and even walking in that righteousness, it's because of faith in Jesus Christ. So now we get what he provided. And righteousness was referred as armor in 2 Corinthians. If you look at this one with me, I think they have it for you. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 6, it says, by purity, by knowledge, by longsuffering, by kindness, by the Holy Spirit, by sincere love. Somebody say amen. By the word of truth. Last week's message, the belt. Somebody amen. Come on, the word of truth. The belt of truth. Then he says, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness. On the right hand and on the left. Righteousness was described as armor. How did Paul shake the snake off when he was on Malta? How did, when he got bit by a snake, how did he shake that thing off? Because Paul had authority and power over the venom of a snake? No, because he knew who he was. He said, I'm dead. It's Christ who lives inside of me. And anything I have, it's because of Christ Jesus. He knew right away it's the armor of God. It's the righteousness of God. And he even said it. He wrote it that we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And he said, in Christ Jesus, poison, you got no effect on me. Death, you can't even get me. Just the bite of the snake, you got nothing on me. And he just shook the snake off. We need to just shake some snakes off. We need to just shake it off. We need to learn what we have in Christ and just shake some of it off. Because we're letting that snake bite on too long. And because we're looking at it going, oh no, oh no, oh no, I'm bit. Someone help me. And God's going, I'll help you. I'm standing here. I'm ready to come in. Just tag team with me. You're looking for everybody but me. I'm your man. I'm your player. I'll back you up. Because I provided. Catch this. Matter of fact, say this. God provided for my protection. All I have to do is put it on. Isaiah prophesied about Jesus Christ when he wrote this, Isaiah 59:17. For he put on righteousness as a breastplate. He put on righteousness as a breastplate. Now, if Jesus put on righteousness as a breastplate, don't you think we need righteousness as a breastplate? If Jesus put it on, don't you think we need to put it on? We need to put on righteousness as a breastplate. Now, here lies a common problem. Jesus put it on. We need to put it on. So how do we get it? Can we earn it? Oh, be careful, because we can't earn it. But yet if we walk in works mentality, we'll be thinking somehow we're going to be righteous by all the good we do. That's not how we get it. We can't earn something he paid for. Can you earn forgiveness of your sins? No. And so we can't earn it. And who's it for? Is it only for the good people? So if you can't earn it, then how could it only be for the good people who look like they're earning it? So first point of this message, one, it's not ours, but his. What we have to recognize is that there's no way we can earn it. There's no way that we can somehow gain it because we purchased it with our actions, with our deeds, with our money, with anything we do. We can't earn it, but God still provides it. Didn't he provide salvation we didn't earn? Ephesians 6:14, stand, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness. The truth is the first beginning, is when you recognize God's truth, that Jesus Christ died for my sins. I repent for my sins. I believe that Jesus was crucified, died, buried, and rose. I believe the four parts of the gospel. And because I believe in that, I ask you to forgive me. And I'm stepping into truth that Jesus died for my sins. And now we enter into the truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness that he paid for on the cross with his blood. 2 Corinthians 5:19. That is that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses against him. Catch this. Please catch this. That he has committed to us the word of reconciliation. That now then, so God on the cross reconciled the world unto himself, that didn't count our trespasses against us and committed a word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become what? The righteousness of God in him. He paid for it, and he provided it. And you got to put it on what he paid for. And the trick is, the devil will always tell you, you don't deserve it, you shouldn't put that on. You don't deserve it, you shouldn't put that on. You don't deserve it, you shouldn't put that on. Just agree with him and say, you're right, I don't deserve it, but Christ paid for it, and I get to put it on because I'm his kid and he gave it to me. And I get to walk in it today and represent him today because he called me to be an ambassador and represent him, not me. And you can call me a dirty dog. Dirty dog, I already repented. I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. I'm not even a child of that old Adam sin line that ran through me and all my Oceanside genes. Now I get those from my heavenly Father. I'm a son of the Most High God. And now my sign's not, sorry, I'm denouncing my Oceanside roots, but it's not Oceanside, but it's the cross of Jesus Christ. So I get to put it on because Jesus paid for it and because he calls me his son. So all I'm doing is wearing my daddy's coat. We're not saved by our righteousness, but now we're representing him and his righteousness. We're not saved by our righteousness. But now we get to represent him, and he calls us to walk in righteousness. And because we're not saved by our own righteousness, some people say, well, that's an excuse. I can just go off and party and sin and do whatever I want. I don't need to earn my salvation. I got it free from Jesus Christ. But let me ask you this. We're not saved by our own righteousness, yet other people's salvation is dependent upon us and our example to walk in righteousness, isn't it? Because when we're not walking in righteousness, we're not representing our God. And if we're not an ambassador representing our God, then what are we representing? Are we going to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ? Or are we going to represent God, or are we going to represent the devil? If we send an ambassador of our nation to another nation, he better represent the United States, United States value, United States, everything that has to do with the United States of America. And if he doesn't, then he shouldn't be an ambassador of the United States of America. And if we're going to walk as people of the kingdom of God, we need to represent the kingdom of God and walk as people. And if he was righteous, then we get to walk in that righteousness because he purchased it for us and because he gave us his cloak. So we put it on because he paid for it. We walk in it because of what he did. We don't earn it. We can't earn it. We got to settle it. But this whole battle where people say, well, you know, I can sin. I don't need that because of the grace of God. No, because of the grace of God, we get to wear his righteousness and walk out of sin and walk in righteousness. It's because of what he purchased and because of his grace, we get to walk in it. How powerful. 1A, what can we do? What can we do? We just get to put it on. What can we do? If I just came and said, here's this heavenly armor, and if you put this on every day, under Andrew's shirt, he already has it under his shirt. The armor's there, but don't show off. And if I just said, I actually think I have some abs. I have a six-pack somewhere buried under that. It was about 30 years ago I saw it, but it's still there. But this just represents it on the armor. I just want to let you know it's still under there, but there's a little layer in between. But just saying, if God just said, take this and wear this daily, and you said, I'm going to be free from all spiritual attack, I'd be like, I'm putting that on, whatever else is going on, I'm putting that on all day long. Why won't we walk in it? It's ludicrous to think that we wouldn't walk in what he's provided. But we got to settle, it's not ours. And part of the reason why we don't walk in it is because the devil says, you're not worthy, you're not worthy. And we just need to get past that and say, he is worthy. In 2 Corinthians 5:19, it says, that is, God was in Christ, reconciled the word to himself, not imputing their trespasses. Then he says, we're ambassadors. And then he says this for in verse 21, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin, that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ. What a powerful passage. And if you go back to our text up in if you look in chapter 4, he says, I'm sorry, if you go before our text and you go into chapter 4, he says this in Ephesians 4:22, he says, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to deceitful lusts, and be renewed by the spirit of your mind. Verse 24, that you put on the new man which is created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. So we have a responsibility to put on the new man and to put on the Jesus saves you, and then he says, walk in the new man. We put on the new man. And we can have a meltdown and walk in the old man. Or woman, whatever you want to say. I'm not talking tense and gender. I'm not talking gender. I'm saying it's all humankind. Are you with me? We can walk in the old or we can walk in the new, but we're to put on the new and to walk in the new. It's a choice we get. That's one thing is what we can do, put it on. We have a choice. Daily we get to read the word. Daily we get to renew our minds with the word. Daily we get to put on Christ like a garment. Baptism says when we get baptized in the waters of baptisms that we take off the old man and we shed it off and we put on Christ. Isn't that powerful? If you've never been baptized, you need to be baptized because it says he who's baptized is clothed with Christ Jesus. I need Jesus all over me. Colossians 3:10, and have put on the new man who was renewed in knowledge according to the image of one who created him. So when people say, well, you know, what's Christianity look like? I can do whatever I want. You know, I can roll up this stuff and smoke this stuff. You know, do you think Jesus is doing that? Because if you're not representing Jesus, that's the question. What's Jesus look like? What'd Jesus do? What would he be doing right now? That's what we get to walk like. Are you with me? That's our honor. It's our privilege. It's not like we're not doing it because of the law. You see, in the past, they did works of righteousness because of the law, and they were bound to the law. But we're set free in Christ Jesus, and he paid for our salvation. And now we get to walk in righteousness as a fruit of our salvation. It's not that we're earning salvation. It's like the fruit of it. Jesus paid for our righteousness. I get to walk in it. I get to be an ambassador. And when I'm righteous, it's because I walk by faith, because I already have my mind renewed and my thinking renewed, and I know who I am, and that's how come I walk in righteousness. I don't walk like the law to earn it. I walk free in Christ Jesus, and I get to demonstrate him and be an ambassador of him. What a privilege. Somebody give God praise. Come on, what a privilege. God gave us Kevlar, yet we have to put it on. Proverbs 11:4, riches don't profit in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivers from death. Some people are so busy building their 401k, they will cheat and lie and steal to get it. And it's like, man, riches don't profit in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivers from death. Money's no match for righteousness. People exchange their righteousness for money, and every time they cheat and steal and deceive and do all this stuff, they're exchanging that Kevlar of God to get a little money to gain a false security, and it's a false god. Proverbs 11:28, he who trusts in riches will fall, but righteousness will flourish. But the righteousness will flourish like foliage. Righteousness flourishes like foliage. Man, that's powerful. We can't trust in riches. Zephaniah 1:18 says, neither their silver nor their gold shall be able to deliver them. Amen. So there's nothing wrong with having money, but there's something wrong with money having you. We need to keep that righteousness. Number two, what will it do through us? Now, I already threw that one on the table with Daniel. What happened with Daniel? What's righteousness do through us? In Daniel 3:28, Nebuchadnezzar spoke, saying, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who sent his angels and delivered his servants who trusted in him. Here's the king, Nebuchadnezzar, saying, you guys trusted in God, you had a faith in God, and you stood righteous to what you believed, even at the point that I threw you in fire. And then he goes and says, and have frustrated the king's word and yielded their bodies that they should not serve nor worship any other god but their own. They stood in their conviction righteousness, and the earthly king recognized it and said, look, you guys, I'm recognizing God protected you because you stood for your God and you stood what you believed was righteous. And because you stood in that, he protected you. Righteousness protected Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego from the fire. Now, we know the fourth man in that fire, and we believe that was Jesus walking with him in that fire. And Jesus, even though I think it was a shadow of the future, that Jesus was going to walk through a fire for us and that he would protect us. Righteousness protected Daniel and shut the mouths of the lion. In Daniel 6:22, he said, my God sent his angel and shut the mouths of the lion, so they've not hurt me because I was found innocent before him. And also, O king, I've done no wrong before you. I believe those are the Old Testament, and those things are singular, and in the future, in the new, it's plural. And I think they're a type and a shadow of things we see in the future. And even as God shut the mouth of that lion, I believe he'll shut the mouth on the lion that's coming after you. I believe he'll shut the mouth of the lion that's coming after your kids, coming after your grandkids, coming after your business. He'll shut the mouth of the lion when we stand in him. And when we stand and say, I'm going to make a stand, I will represent my God, I will stand for my God, and I realize it's not mine, but I'm going to walk and I'm going to bear his image to the best of my ability in everything I do. And as I do, he'll shut the mouth of the lion. And you may have to spend a night down in with a pit full of lions, saying, God, just kill him, just shoot him, just snipe him out, just drop a weapon, I'll just tap him out as I go down. Pop, 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 they're all down. Now I feel really good. Sometimes we have to sit there amongst them for a whole night, and he's in there with them. But God shut their mouth. He could have took them out, but he didn't. He just shut their mouth. Isn't that powerful? Daniel got to walk in the midst of his faith the whole night, wondering, will they open their mouth and attack me? Are they going to attack me in an hour? Are they going to attack me in 2 hours? Are they going to attack me in 6 hours? No. He said, God shut their mouth. He sent his angel, probably fellowship with the angel while he was down there. Daniel recognized God sent supernatural protection. Say protection from God. Whoo! He sent an angel down there and shut the mouth of the lion. Now, Teresa has this Bengal that's half leopard, it's half Asian leopard and half tabby, and it's a pretty mean cat when it wants to be mean, and it jumps my cat all day long. It lives to bite her in the back of the neck and pin her to the ground. And she just looks up at me, and I'm like, get off of her. And she looks, and she backs off. And all the time, all I have to do is snap my fingers right when she's going to attack her, and she knows. She looks like, I wasn't going to attack her. So I have to protect her constantly from the mouth of the leopard. I'm not lying. I'm serious. This is all the time. Multiple times, every 15 minutes. And so God will protect you from the mouth of the lion that's prowling around like a roaring lion seeking who he can devour. And God's always going to be like, Are you with me? Just shut the mouth right there. And lion can be like brushing up against you. And I could just imagine if I did the commentary, wait till he's gone, I'm going to kill you. And then sometimes she can't take it. And she's like, it's in me. Ah! And I'm like, get off of her. I'm trying to pull her off of her. You know, but you got to trust in God. Because God has provided your protection. I mean, isn't that beautiful? God just sent an angel. Why don't you believe in angels more? Why don't you believe? I just talked to Will Hart this week, and Will had a book on angels, right? Will's book? Didn't Will just do a book on angels? Jeremy did a book on angels. Sorry, mixing my friends. They're coming in March too. Miranda's. But how come we don't believe in our angels more? When God said each of us has a guardian angel, why wouldn't you believe? Angels provide strength for you and protection. Read the Bible. That's what their job is. They're not going to bring salvation to the nations. That's our job. But they protect the ones who do. Now, you can't command angels, and you can't tell angels to do anything. They're not going to listen to you. They listen to God. But you could talk to God and say, God, I could use my angel right about now. And I could use some protection right about now. And if other people have to see my angel, let them see my angel. Story after story where people have seen the angel of God with people. I was at a crusade where about 22 Muslims were going to crash the altar call, and they had a whole plan to foul up this crusade. We had thousands of people, and we were sitting there, and I'm on the stage, and they were going to come up on the stage and cause a bunch of disruption. And I'm thinking, you got a bunch of yoked bodybuilders, karate people, and all these guys up here breaking bricks and bats and bars, and these, sorry for the expression, but these not so big Muslims were going to come up and try to do this. And I thought that was going to be ugly if it broke out. And God could already see ugly. This would not have looked good, seeing these little bodies getting thrown around. If somebody was trying to mess with my friend, I'm like, I'm not going to let him come up and do that. And I would have prayed God, but I'm like, I also have a flesh in me. And so God protected them from the flesh, which is it's far inferior to God's protection. And when the Muslims all tried to come up, you got all this whole people all dressed with their shirts. When they tried to come up to go mob the stage at the altar call, they saw a whole company of big giant angels with swords. And they ran out of the crusade grounds. They ran out of the crusade grounds. Like 20 plus people ran out of the crusade grounds. Because God said, they need to see my boys now before my other earthly sons flesh out. Because no temptation is overtaking me except what's common to man. God will provide a way out, and every time he'll provide a way out so we don't have to flesh out. Are you here? We're only human, but you know what? You have divine protection. And if you walk away with anything today, you need to recognize that God, that you have some heavenly Kevlar, and God wants to put it on you daily. And some big old hunking angels, just saying. You know, the word devil is taken from this Greek word, and it talks about slanderous, accusing, malicious. If you tie in the last week's message, I'll tell you right now that every time he starts to mess with you and tell you you're not supposed to have on God's Kevlar, it's usually a lie attached to it and deception attached with it. But he tells us to put it on, and we need to do it by faith. It's up to us to get ready for battle, to put on our vest, to put on our godly Kevlar. Isaiah 51, 7 and 8 says, "Listen to me, you who know righteousness." Can I just let you know this right now? That righteousness in a vest, it's not just you sitting in your car. And I bless you if you do this because you're doing it in faith. When you say, "I put on the full armor of God and I put on the belt of truth. I put on I put on my breastplate of righteousness. I take up the shield." I get that and I honor that. I appreciate that. That's okay. All right? My wife does that. We used to do it with our kids all the time on the way to school. Every day on the way to school, we would go through the armor of God and we declare, that's fine. But I'm just telling you, can I just tell you, righteousness, it's not just knowing about it. It's saying, "Listen to me, you who know righteousness." Do you know Jesus? Do you know my Jesus? He was sinless. No one else ever. Nobody qualified to go to the cross. He became a sacrifice because they needed a sinless, they needed a spotless white, a white spotless lamb. They needed something with no defect. And they needed, Jesus went as the Lamb of God. No defect, no sin. And because he walked a sinless life, because he walked a righteous life, because he resisted sin, his entire breath, entirely during every breath on this planet, from a baby to a man when they crucified him, he was sinless. Because he was righteous, because of his righteousness, he was qualified to go to the cross and take the sin of mankind, or all of humanity, and put it on his shoulders and die on the cross for our sins and pay the penalty through his death. And then God resurrected Jesus Christ and seated him at his right hand and said, "This is my man right here." Gave him all power, all authority. And now all of us who are born again, who believe in him, now we get to walk in his righteousness. Are you with me? But we get to know him. It's not just a religion, it's a relationship. Do you know righteousness? Serious, just sitting in my office, I just sat there and I'm like, "Oh, Daddy, I love you. Oh, Jesus. This is uncomfortable putting this thing on and going out there, but God, you know, I just want you. I know you. I know you have something to give to them, and I'm just a messenger. So whatever my encumbrances are, just remove them and let your word come to your beautiful people. Let them know you, not about you. Let them know you, not just a system. Let them know you, not just, I pray this happen, but let them know you, and let that prayer be a reflection of what they already know. And the know is to know you, because you are righteousness. He was it. He was the Word made flesh. He was, and he showed us, and grace and truth walked on the earth. He showed us and modeled something. Well, how beautiful that our God went through all that. Oh, and he says, "Listen to me, you who know righteousness. You people in whose heart is my law, do not fear the reproach of men, nor be afraid of their insults, for the moth will eat them up like a garment, and the worm will eat them like wool. But my righteousness will be forever. My salvation from generation to generation." And what God gave Jesus and he started and he restored on the cross has gone down from generation to generation. And we got a generation celebrating outside. And you get to bring it from your generation to the next generation. You get to honor the generation before you. We get to wear what he paid for. But we get to know him. And I just want to ask you today, if you'll stand with me, I want to ask you today, do you know him? This is not about grabbing a piece of plastic or metal or Kevlar or some material. I'm talking, do you know him who protects you? Do you know him who clothes you? Do you know him? Because when he talks about being baptized in Christ Jesus, what he says is, even the word, when he speaks of the word, when he says those who believe. When I was little, I was raised in a form of religion, and they told us if you believe, you'll go to heaven. So I just said, I believe. But the word believe means to cast your life upon. But I didn't cast my life upon. I cast my life upon partying and girls and drugs and all this stuff. I cast my life upon my own strength. Became a martial artist and did all these things. I conquered my own fears by training how to do all kinds of crazy things. I did it all on my own. I didn't cast my life upon him. And then at 21 years old, I realized I was not saved and not born again and not going to heaven, that God wasn't my God, and that I basically had formed and made these things my God. They were more important, and they consumed my life more than the God of heaven. But I had enough to know about Him, and I shifted from knowing about Him to knowing Him. And I said, I don't want to go to hell. I want to go to heaven. I'm done playing with you, God, because I can't stand before you and say, I know I'm going to heaven. Showdown happened when I said, do you really, really know you're going to heaven? And I'm like, we talk about it, and I did all that stuff, and I walked through the motions, and they put the stick, and the dude with the hats did the stick and the cross, and I did all the kneeling and bowing. I did all this junk, but you know what? I was not born again, and I did not know Him. But since 21 years of age, I've got to know Him. He's a loving God. And He'll clothe you with His righteousness, and He'll put His Kevlar around you. He saved my life so many times since then. Literally. Had an 18-ton panel would have crushed me, saved my life. Working a job off Palm Airport Road. Had a bar drop from a 30-foot above me, could have killed me, saved my life. I saw a hand grab it as I looked up and went, oh. The building inspector just goes, whoops, and grabs it. 4-foot digging bar would have seriously harmed me. Went off in a car and hit a tree. My buddy hit a tree, went in. He went in a coma. Nothing happened to me. I could just keep going on and on with a list of things where I could have died, but He's protected me because I got a heavenly Kevlar that God put around me. And He said, that's my son. That's my boy right there. And I'm going to protect him. And I'm going to stand for him. And sometimes I feel like there's lions all around me. Sometimes I literally feel like Daniel. Sometimes I'm like, God, I'm stressing out, man, because now I just found out there's another lion here and another lion here, and they're all talking smack, and I got to walk through these things, and I feel like a little boy sometimes before a big God. But I know this much, that I got a big daddy. I got a big daddy, and I'm still standing. And even though they seem big, and the lion looks tempting to be afraid, and sometimes I go through a little drill, and I start to put on the old Oceanside, and I start talking trash, like, I'm going to do this, I'll do that, I'll do this, they think they're going to mess with me, and I got to go back to a little boy before a big God, and I got to say, God, I trust you, because I really am not big enough to handle everything that I have in this life without you, and if I try to do it on my own, I'd be back in a wreck like I was before I was born again. And my inadequacies and my inadequacies, my inabilities, my weaknesses, they draw me to God. And Paul talked about his weakness, that though I'm weak, I'm strong. You see, sometimes those trials and those tribulations, they draw me back to say, I'm a little boy before a big God. But as long as I remember, it's His righteousness, not mine. As long as I remember that it's His strength and that He's there to stand for me. As long as I remember, it doesn't matter how many lions are in the pit, my God will send His angel to protect me, that my God is with me. Can I just tell you, there's no one greater than to serve the living God. I just want to ask you to bow your heads with me. If you don't know Him, would you do it today? Would you just say, Jesus, forgive my sins? If you're like me and you knew about Him, but you really didn't know Him, would you just say, Jesus, I do believe and I want to make it real today. I want to be born again. I want to know you. And I just ask you if you'll pray this prayer. I'll lead you in a prayer. And even if you're here and you're born again, I want you to pray this prayer just for the people around you so they don't feel awkward. Would everyone just pray this prayer and just say, Father,